Beautiful. Our reading this morning continues with the story of Mary, and it's the Psalm of Mary. Mary, that the Holy Spirit will be upon her, goes away to visit her relative Elizabeth, and they see each other. All of a sudden, Elizabeth recognizes Mary and that she's going to give birth to Jesus, the Messiah, and she blesses Mary. And Mary, with that confirmation, gives these words called Mary's Psalm or the Magnificat. She says this, or she sings this: "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." May the Lord bless his words to our hearts and minds today. Well, this morning I'd like to continue with this series, Christmas Through the Eyes of Different People, and this morning we'll look at Mary. But first, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this little girl, Kelly, and she began every night when she said her bedtime prayers with her mommy and daddy. She would give this long list of things to be thankful for. She thanked God for all of her family members and all of her friends and all of the family animals and pets, both past and present. And when she finished the nightly prayer, she began to say, "and all girls." And her mother and dad didn't know what to think about it. And finally, after weeks of her ending every prayer with "and all girls," her daddy finally said, "and Kelly, why do we always add the part about and all girls?" And she replied, "because everybody else finishes their prayers with all men." Well, when you think about church sometimes maybe it's too much about all men, right? And not to get things done, because Lord knows that the women get things done. I don't know what we would do without the women's guild, and so many other things happen in the church, Sunday school. And it really is keyed in on a lot of women. Men do great things too, but the women are just sort of there and make it happen. But sometimes when we think about the great disciples and the great people of faith, we think about men. And we think about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we think about David, and we think about Samuel, Daniel, and we think about the disciples, and we forget about the women, or at least we put them into a lesser role. But really, there's some outstanding women leaders. Sarah was also a leader, along with Jacob and Ruth and Naomi. There's lots of people, and of course, we talked about Elizabeth. This morning, we look at Mary, Christmas through the eyes of Mary. And sometimes we Protestants react to the Catholic tradition, which has venerated Mary, and to the point where Mary's not only a saint, but some people pray to her and what have you, and the Reformation reacted against that. But sometimes we go to the other extreme, which is we don't even look at Mary as a disciple. And she was the mother of Jesus, which is a very special place in all the history of the world. And she was also a great disciple. She was there with Jesus all through his childhood and youth, was also a disciple, was recorded in the Gospels as following Jesus. And she was one of the few people that was there at the foot of the cross when Jesus was crucified. Most of the other disciples, except for John, had to sort of run for cover. And then Mary was also there in the upper room, and it records that Mary continued to be a disciple of Jesus. And so this morning we look at the special place of Mary around Christmas time, because I think it's important, because I think there's also some lessons that we can learn from Mary about being a disciple and about her special place. And the first thing to sort of walk through this story is that Mary faced some fears, and I think all of us face some fears of different kinds. And to pick up the story, realize that Mary was not just a woman in her 20s, she was probably, we believe to be, a woman in her teens, her young teens, probably somewhere between 14 and 19. That was a typical time for marriage. That time people had a shorter life expectancy during that time, and were typically women would be married around that time. And so Mary was probably full, she's a young Jewish girl and a teenager, and full of all the plans and excitement and preparations of getting married, making that day a special day with all the plans and preparations. And in the middle of this, suddenly she is confronted with an angel, and it was the angel Gabriel. Now, sometimes when we think of angels, we think of those Valentine's Day cards that we get with these baby-like sort of cherub angels that are so cute and sweet, and we forget that angels in the Bible are really sort of fierce warriors, and they're also those of comfort. But remember, the angels were those who took on the battle sometimes, the people of Israel, and so Gabriel is one of the head angels, and so here's Gabriel before Mary, and Mary is awed by that, and this is what it says to pick that up. That God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you." So even though the angel says, "Greetings, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you," and Mary's in fearful, and you and I probably would be too. But when we look at Mary, he goes on to say, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this could be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David and will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." And when you look at Mary today, I mean, you and I aren't going to face the same kind of thing that Mary did, but all of us face some fears in life. And sometimes when we think about being a person of faith, we think about being a Christ follower, we think, well, because Christ is with us, we're never going to have any fears, right? I mean, we know that God's going to see us through and God has a purpose and plan. But I think if we're all truthful, we all have fears. And we need to face our fears and say that it's okay to have some fears. How many times did Jesus say, "Fear not"? And how many times, even in the Christmas narrative, do you hear the words, "Fear not"? And why did the angel say that? Because people were afraid. And you and I may not have the same fears as Mary, but sometimes we're afraid of, maybe we're afraid of an illness, or we've got financial challenges or difficulties, or we're just afraid of the future. We're not sure what's going to happen. And there's lots of fears that are everyday fears, that are strong fears in our life. And so to be a Christian isn't to have fear, it's to face those fears with faith. Nelson Mandela, who passed away this past week, said something about fear one time, and he said, "Courage isn't to not have fear. Courage is simply to overcome your fear and to be willing to take the next step." And I think that's true. Courage isn't to not have fear. Courage is to realize that you have fear and to be honest about that and take the next step in faith. And that's what Mary did. There were a lot of unknowns in her life at that time, a lot of things to face. And of course, she had to break this news to Joseph. Wasn't sure how he was going to take that. But Mary had faith. And so I think we learned from Mary that we can, first of all, face our fears. And then from Mary, we also learned that we face our fears with faith. And Mary, to continue the story, said this, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who has said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." You know, that's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, "for nothing is impossible with God." And it isn't just for the Christmas season. I mean, if I'm facing something that's difficult and not sure, a lot of times I've come back to that verse and just to read it, "for nothing is impossible with God." What a beautiful word, and it's short, and it's powerful, and it's so true. And you think about Mary for a moment, and she just had to be wondering, how was all this going to happen? And even after the angel explained it, she just went, you know, this hasn't happened before. But she had faith, and she believed that enough to take the next step. And she had to think about that, for nothing is impossible with God. And so when we think about the things that we're fearful of whether it's the future, whether it's an illness or financial difficulties or just difficulties in life, to remember those words, "for nothing is impossible with God." When you think about it, it's not how able we are, but how able God is. Not how able we are, but how able God is. And Mary, in that moment, had to have the faith to trust that God would provide a way, even though that she couldn't see a way, and that God had a plan and purpose, and that God had power enough to see it through. So from Mary, we can learn that we can face our fears, and also that we face our fears with faith. That's how to respond to them. And then the third thing is that we can learn from Mary humility. And to pick up the story, Mary's response was this, "I am the Lord's servant," she answered. "May it be to me as you have said." What words of great faith and humility. "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." And when you think about that, she had to put down the plans for the wedding the way that she wanted, and sorting out life the way she wanted, even though she was a teenager. And it reminds us of the words that Jesus spoke in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." I mean, what tremendous words for a young teenager to say facing this kind of thing. And you think about Jesus' example of saying in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but thine be done." And so oftentimes, we have our desires and we have our plans and purposes in life, but God comes and says, "That's not my plan. That's not my purpose." And we have to be willing humbly to submit to God's plan and purpose. And when we do, we'll find a great thing in life. And remember that it wasn't just Jesus who said, "Not my will, but thine be done." But also when the disciples came to Jesus and they asked Jesus how to pray, Jesus taught them the Lord's Prayer. And of course, we all know how that starts out. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." But then it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's something we can all pray, hopefully meaningfully, from our hearts. And when we do, we have the humility to just turn our life to God and say, "I don't understand this. It's not my path, it's not my will, it's not my choice, but I know you and I trust you, and I'm going to submit myself to your will." And that's exactly what Mary did. And when she did, all of a sudden she found out that there was a special joy that was there in her life. And I think that's really the last thing that we can learn from Mary. I'm sure there's other things, but to give God joyful praise. When Mary was willing to face her fears and to have faith in God and humbly to submit with that faith, then all of a sudden she had a great praise. And we don't know all that was going through her mind, but she decided to go away to her relative Elizabeth. And when she did, she saw an angel, but once the angel disappears, you're left with your unknowns and your questions and your fears and your frustrations. So she went away to Elizabeth, and then when she saw Elizabeth, something special happened that confirmed that. Elizabeth blessed her and confirmed the promise that the angel had given to Mary and said that she was going to bear a child that would be the Savior of the world, and the baby within her leaped in that moment of confirmation. And all of a sudden, Mary gave forth this beautiful psalm. And sometimes when we think about the psalms, we just think about David, or maybe we think about Solomon, some of those people. But listen again to this wonderful psalm of prayer and praise that Mary recites. She says this: "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." What a beautiful, glorious psalm of praise that Mary gave. And so when you think about Mary, remember that she faced her fears with faith and with humility and was given a song of praise. And we think about Mary, we think about the gift of love and what song of praise can be. Now, you and I aren't going to be in Mary's same place, but you and I can also share praise to God. We're here this morning to give God praise, and we can take a moment out of our busy days to give praise to God. And I think there's other ways. You might not be a singer, or you may be a singer, but there's other things that we can do that sort of is a psalm of praise to God. And someone said this, and I like this, about giving great gifts or presents that don't cost anything. And the presence is spelled P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, the gift of your presence. And listen to these words about sort of giving your gift of presence. I think that's sort of a psalm of praise to God. Give your parents the words, "I love you." Doesn't matter how old they are. Give your children or brothers or sisters a full day of time. Lord knows that's a challenge in this season. Give an ear to someone who needs a listener. Give a hand to someone less strong. Give an old friend or a new friend an unexpected visitor, letter, or call. Give a former neighbor a call. Give a kind word to a weary sales clerk. Lord knows they can use that. Give a prayer of peace for the world. Give more gifts than you have made, fewer that money has bought. Give the money you save anonymously to someone in need. Give yourself time to reflect this holiday season. Give God thanks for sending his son as a redeemer for the world and of you. Those are gifts of our presence and the greatest gift of all, From Mary, we can learn to face our fears, and to have faith, and to have humility, and to have praise. I think there's something more. That as we do that, we rediscover God's greatest miracle and God's greatest gift, which is the gift of love in Christ. And remember this third Sunday of Advent, the Sunday where we light a candle about love, and we see the gift of Mary's love, then that love, when we sort of follow in her footsteps in the pathway that she showed us, we realize that great gift of love, that Jesus Christ has come to share his life in our weakest and tenderest and most vulnerable moments and show us the gift of life, and then to give his life and the greatest gift of love of all that we could know, forgiveness and new life. G.K. Chesterton, a great writer, wrote this. He said, "To an open house in the evening home shall men come, to an older place than Eden, to a taller town than Rome, to the end of the way of the wandering star, to the place where God was homeless and all men at home." What a beautiful, simple way to look at God's love. If nothing else, this Christmas season, think again about God's gift of love in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life." That's the reason for the season. And that's the reason for God's greatest gift of all. So whatever else we do this holiday season, some of us face the fears of losing a loved one, and holidays are all the harder during those times, and we also face fears of whether it's financial difficulties or illness or things happening that we don't understand. Know that God has a purpose in it. God has a plan for our life, and God has the power to see us through it. And like Mary, have that courage that whether you're young or old, to take each step and find that there's a song of praise there and God's greatest gift of all. Martin Luther was going through a very difficult time in his life. His life was threatened, and of course he was the great reformer. And in the middle of all of that, one of the Christmases, he wrote this poem I'd like to close with. He wrote, "Ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, make thee a bed soft, undefiled. Within my heart may it be a quiet chamber kept for thee. My heart for very joy doth leap, my lips no more can silence keep. I too must sing with joyful tongue that sweetest ancient cradle song. Glory to God in the highest heaven, who unto man his Son hath given, while angels sing with pious mirth a glad new year to all of the earth." Whatever fears that we face this day, we can be like Mary and have the strength and courage to face them and to believe and have faith in God. And with that humility, submit our wills to God. And I think we'll find the miracle of God's joy and love special this day and always. And we can share that with others. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, sometimes the Christmas season gets so busy. Our lives become hectic with the busyness of life. And help us to settle down into the spirit of Christmas, to take a deep breath and to hear the angel song in our heart, and to read and reflect on your scripture, your words of love, to see again, as Mary did, this great gift of God's wonder and love and joy, and help us to quietly worship you and to stir again that gift of love in our hearts and minds, and to share that with family and friends, both near and far, through your power and to your glory. Amen.